Welcome to you here at Tekeke Baptist Church on Christmas Eve, 2017. Christmas, a season of the year, a time of the year when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a time of peace, but we may well ask ourselves, where is peace in this world today? According to one study, there are some 40 violent armed military conflicts going on in the world at this time. We face a renewed threat of nuclear holocaust, continued violent acts of terrorism, domestic violence, mass shootings, urban gangs, drug-related violence, an epidemic of murder in our urban centers. We live in a world that has a desire and a longing for peace. But where can a war-weary, a war-torn world find peace today? Where is that peace on earth? This morning we're going to be looking at two passages in scriptures. First, Isaiah chapter 9, if you turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. There are many messianic prophecies, predictions of the coming one in the Old Testament. We just sang this passage a few minutes ago, and I love this passage from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Would you read along with me? Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Will you pray with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here together on this most important day of the year. Please open our hearts to what you would have to say to us through your word. Give us tender hearts and eager spirits to receive your word, that we may find application for it in our lives today, I ask in Jesus' name. Now, this is a passage with four names of a great king. The child who is born, the king who will shine light into darkness, the king who came as a child, a tiny helpless baby in Bethlehem, Christmas Eve. And the first name to describe this wonderful child is Wonderful Counselor. This child is our Wonderful Counselor. Now, if you're familiar with the venerable King James translation, you'll see a comma, Wonderful Counselor. But it is not two names, it is one. In the original Hebrew, it is one composite name. Two names together, Wonder Counselor. This child is a Wonder Counselor. A wonder is something miraculous, something extraordinary. A counselor is somebody who gives advice, counsel. And you know, we haven't figured it out. We don't have it all together. We're not quite as smart as we think we are. Whether you're the most powerful politician in the world, or whether you're a clerk in a convenience store, you need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need insight to deal with the problems, to deal with the challenges of life, to be able to look down the road and see the potholes ahead and avoid those potholes. Oh, the questions that come up. What career should I choose? Should I go into full-time ministry? Should I stay single? Should I get married? Jesus will give you wisdom to decide. He'll help you. I need a new computer. Which kind should I buy? How much should I spend? Our wonder counselor is there to give you insight even to these mundane, ordinary things of life. Jesus, the wonder counselor, will sometimes send you to school so you can get smart. The school of hard knocks. Have you ever been to the school of hard knocks? If you haven't, you will. Because the loving, tender Jesus knows what's good for you, and he'll send you there. And if you flunk, he'll send you back to repeat the course. He'll send you back over and over until you get smart. Then you'll go on further in life. And wisdom has to do not only with learning through experience, but also learning from others. Learning vicariously is true wisdom. If we have spiritual eyes to see any heart that hungers to learn what God wants to teach us. Wisdom to resolve conflicts. When two or three people, you're in a group, you're with one other person or several other people, and you're working through an issue, and you want your own way. Sometimes you need to stand firm. But you know, when I was in Germany, there was a saying I learned, sometimes the wiser of the two will simply give in. Sometimes it's clever just to give in, but don't we always need to stand firm? Well, sometimes we need to stand firm on principle and persevere, but sometimes we need to yield. Well, which way? God will give you wisdom if you seek him. It comes from those to those who crave it from the wonder counselor himself. And obedience. Why don't we obey? Of course, we know the Bible. We know that obedience is the measure of love. If you love me, keep my commandments. We know we're supposed to obey, but sometimes we just don't want to. But if we were smart, we'd learn that wisdom, obedience is always the wisest choice. It is wise to obey. Because God has good promises. He has tranquility. He has peace. He has wellness. Blessings for those who obey. And this is true wisdom. But he is also the mighty God. He is God, the mighty warrior. Mighty to fight our enemies. Because he has strengthened us with power through his Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. And so he gives us power. It takes a power, a special strength to obey, to love the people that rub you the wrong way, to find contentment in difficult situations, power to heal a broken life, power to heal a broken, yes, a broken and wounded church, to raise that church up again, power to save sinners, to keep them saved. Power to provide our needs, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. As much as you love to support the work of your church through your regular offerings, God loves to supply all of your need. I'll say that again. As much as you love willingly to regularly support the work of your local church through your financial offering, God loves, Jesus loves to supply all of your need and my need too. And to empower our testimony for Jesus. Even if you feel unsure of yourself, you're not quite confident in how you present yourself, God is shining through your life through his power, and you will be amazed at how many people, when you get to heaven, how many people came to Christ through your testimony, even when you stumbled over your words and weren't quite certain how to answer their questions, because God was working through you, even when you couldn't feel that. And Jesus is also, this child is also, the everlasting Father, or the Father of eternity. This is not talking about the Trinity. The Trinity is not clearly taught in the Old Testament. But Jesus is like a father who cares for us. He cares for our needs. He takes care of us. And he is eternal. He is as eternal as God the Father, because in substance and essence, God the Father and God the Son are one God. He has always existed. He is alive today. He will always be alive. He cares about us. His love is eternal. He is an everlasting ruler. Will you let him rule in your heart, Christian? Who is on the throne of your heart? Is it Jesus or is it self? Is it ego or is it Jesus? You will never have peace in your life unless Jesus is ruling your heart, because, number four, he is the Prince of Peace. This child is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Fullness. He is the Prince of Shalom, completeness, tranquility. But where, oh, where is peace in this world today? Take a look at verse 7 of the increase of his government. That word government, the same word as in verse 6, is a literal future government. Yes, there will be peace on earth someday. The end of oppression, the end of warfare, the end of social injustice. Yes, a future global government, and that will be a political government. But a kingdom not like any kingdom this world has ever seen, because God's kingdom will, at the second advent, come down from heaven, down to earth, and this world will know complete peace, because the world will be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea, because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will be on the throne. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. So how can I find peace today on Christmas Eve as we celebrate the first advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? We find that peace by laying our cares at the feet of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Now, if you would turn forward to me to Philippians chapter 4, in your New Testament, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Four things you need to do to gain peace. First, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Put the worries, put the cares, put the anxiety aside. But do pray. Continually let your request be. Talk to God. Open your heart. Bring the request to God. Pray. Petition, supplication, specific needs, no matter how small, how big, illness in the family, a conflict situation, somebody you just can't get along with. God's not going to frown on you. He's not going to scold you when you bring a request to him, no matter how insignificant or how impossible it may seem. Pray about that situation that's weighing you down. And three, with thanksgiving, thank God for who he is and what he has done. If I could look into your hearts, I have no doubt that God has answered many, many, many prayers. Keep a journal. Write them down. Put them on post-its. Do anything you can to make yourself remember, so when you come to God, you can thank him for what he's done for you in the past. And then enjoy. Enjoy the peace of God, verse 7, that passes. A peace you can't quite understand, because you don't know how God's going to resolve the situation. And he may not give you exactly what you're asking for in the prayer, but you know that he'll deal with it. And whatever he does will be good. It will be right. And when this anxious thought starts to come back, or you start to worry about this specific situation, remember that God is there guarding you like an elite military squad, guarding you, fighting off your enemies. He will always give you His peace. And if you don't know the Prince of Peace, what better time is there now, Christmas Eve, the time to celebrate peace? God has made peace with you through Jesus. Have you made peace with Him? There's only one way: by rolling your cares upon His broad shoulders, by giving your sinful life over to Him and letting Him fill your heart with peace, His peace, because there is no peace without the Prince of Peace. Thank You, Lord, for the day and the chance to share Your word. We thank You for Your word. We know that Your word is powerful, and we pray that it will find a resting place in our hearts that will fill us with Your peace this day and every day. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.